Good evening. This is Ted Haas, recording from the Emerald Room of the famous old Brown Palace Hotel in Denver. The occasion is a rally dinner at which the guest of honor is Bob Hope. The rally is to inaugurate a fundraising drive for a $3 million surgical wing for St. Anthony's Hospital in Denver. This, incidentally, is the first time the hospital in its 63-year history has asked financial assistance from the community. Arrangements for Bob Hope's appearance here were made by KOA Radio and TV. Bill Grant, president of KOA Radio and TV, has just introduced the other honored guests and now, I believe, is ready to introduce Bob Hope shortly. We switch to our microphone at the speaker's table.
And now, gentlemen, a small order of business that I know will surprise me and you.
Dining room now is a detachment of Navy men. Bob Hope is about to be made Admiral of the Prairie Dog Navy, the Naval Reserve's Weekend Warriors honorary organization, of which Colorado's Governor Johnson is commanding officer. The detachment here tonight is headed by Commander James Bitting. They're now pulling Bob Hope around, almost tugging him around the speaker stand. Two sailors bring him around to the front of the speaker stand where this award will be made.
Hat, please. Coat, burned.
Can I have your attention, please? Never in the history of military entertainment.
They are placing a cape around Bob's shoulder.
Please, this is supposed to be serious now.
An admiral's cap, which is nothing but funny. He's wearing it sideways instead of the way he should. These little meager plumes are wobbling in the air.
Never in the history of military entertainment has there been anyone who could approach Bob Hope's personal efforts to entertain military personnel throughout the world. Now, let me quote to you from the service record. Bob Hope again will spend Christmas at an isolated Air Force base in Alaska. He was on Iceland last year for Christmas. He was overseas each Christmas as well as other times during the World War II and for most of the years following that war. It seems Bob Hope performed and is performing far above and beyond the call of duty. End of quote. Now, we of the Naval Air Reserve, the Weekend Warrior Program, the Naval Air Station Denver, hope and pray that in a small way, a commission in the Prairie Dog Navy will show Bob Hope how much we respect and honor him as one of our greatest living Americans today.
Made by Commander James Bitting.
To all seafaring landlubbers, wherever ye be, and all prairie dogs, jackrabbits, antelopes, rattlesnakes, field mice, and other living things of the prairie, greetings. Know ye that on this 29th day of November, 1956, in latitude 39 degrees, 42 minutes, 15 seconds north, and longitude 140 degrees, 45 minutes, 0 seconds west, there appeared within the limits of our royal domain a person so worthy and notable as to make the waving grasses of the prairie come to attention. Be it remembered and be it known by all you who may be honored by his presence that Bob Hope has been found worthy to receive the highest award that can be conjured by this command to a non-military citizen of our country. A commission as Admiral in the Prairie Dog Navy Reserve.
I knight you.
Bob's waving the sword.
Bear has been duly initiated into the solemn mysteries of the ancient order of the Mile High Plains and the silent mysteries of the Queen City of the Rockies, and is entitled Forever Two, a free gangway on all prairie schooners docked in Denver. The right to fly the ensign of his rank, two blocks, of course, from the jackstaff of his TV set almost every day. Be senior officer present afloat. on the Platte River, the Colorado River, and Cherry Creek whenever he is there. The unqualified right and privilege to become a hangar flyer first class and to discuss with other members of the Prairie Dog Navy hair-raising accounts of adventures in the Loop of Plane, Ferris Wheel, Link Trainer, and other subjects allied to the hazards of control versus free flight. The grateful thanks of a bunch of guys who believe in the American way, of which you are so very much a wonderful part. Be it further understood that by virtue of the power invested in me, I do hereby command all members of Prairie Dog Navy to show due honor and respect to the bearer wherever he may be. Disobey this order under the penalty of our royal displeasure given under our hand and seal this 29th day of November 1956, Cactus Pete Brand Foreman, Jack Rabbit, ruler of the Raging Plains.
Now putting the giant epaulets on Governor Johnson also. These epaulets are at least a foot long.
4 stars. Yours bigger than mine?
This is actually the baby. I think I'll sell my bonds in the morning.
They're right here. He said stay right here.
They're posing for flash pictures right now.
Commanding officer, and you don't like him, meant it.
Governor Johnson speaking. Bob just saluted Governor Johnson.
All right.
Do I get that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, fine. That's all right.
I'll get it later.
Take it right with you. It's fine.
I'll give it.
Do I take this with me?
Yes, sir.
It must have cost you a fortune.
Bob's now parading around the speaker's table once again. You hear the drums in the background. The presentation has been made. Bob Hope is now a member of the Prairie Dog Navy.
May I say a word or two here?
Here he is again.
Am I busting up the program? I really appreciate this, Commander, and this will hold a very high place in my trophy room. Because I understand did Jack Benny receive one?
Yes, sir.
You have the older Admiral too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Is he in Governor Johnson's platoon? Is that
I say the commanding officer's
trip. I see. I'm sorry. I'm out of order. Thank you very much. Thank you. How about that?
Well, the naval detachment is now marching out of the dining room. Here's the Toastmaster, Mr. Bill Grant.
Thank you, Commander Horner, and the officers and men of the Prairie Dog Navy. Now, Bob, one final award. You're an admiral now, but as you said, or may have thought, there may be some other places in Denver where you need more than being an admiral. Now, I have here an appointment from Mayor Nicholson, making you an honorary sheriff in the city of Denver. So between that and being an admiral, you should be able to get out of town.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hope.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Well, that's I got a lot of valuable presents so far. Sheriff and a paper hat. That's nice. It's about the only thing I've collected this year, though. I've been betting on the Rams. Remember they had a football team? But I'm thrilled to be here. I really am, and especially in this company. Mr. Grant, did we get that last piece on KOA? You're great man. I noticed you leaning the mic, the KLA mic, from there, to pick up the Prairie Navy for nothing. But I want to say that it's, I'm sorry I was out of order to our commanding officer, Governor Johnson. It's quite a surprise to see him here. Nobody told me he was going to be here, and I always get a kick out of seeing Governor Johnson because I've known him for quite a few years, and was very nice to me in Washington a few years ago. And believe me, I don't have to tell you. I think your governor-elect can tell you. When you have this man for a sponsor, you can go lots of places. I don't get those kind of sponsors very often. I had Pepsodent for a few years. They gave me this set when I left. No, but this is the Boulder Dam of politics, this man out here, believe me. He is, there's very few people can match the governor's record for public service because I get around all over the place and I know just how powerful this fellow is. And it's a pleasure to be sitting next to him. I enjoyed some of that talk. And also to be sitting next to His Excellency, Archbishop Baer. I always like this kind of company. No, it gives you, it gives a comedian a feeling of confidence to know that the tomatoes have been blessed, you know? not that I'm nervous or anything like that. I'm sure that somebody up there likes me, but I like to take a little insurance out down here with the branch office. And I had the pleasure of doing a dinner a few weeks ago for Cardinal McIntyre in Los Angeles, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time there. I was invited by the Catholic Writers Guild. And, of course, you know, we have a lot of Catholic writers there. And Hollywood Catholics are kind of different. They really are, on account of their association with show business. They're the only Catholics in the world that give up matzo balls for Lent. And I got to fill out a meeting with sisters that have so much to do with the hospital. And I enjoy that. I think it, our business, it's the right side just to be close to religion. After all, look what happened to Burrow when he went against Bishop Sheen. Pretty hard to buck those writers. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I want to say, John Sullivan has been asking me to do this show for a few months, and I'm just thrilled that I could make it. And, of course, Bill Grant didn't tell you what I did say about Dolores, because you said it's amazing how you travel all the time and the worries you give your wife, and she still looks so beautiful. And I said, that's because I never annoy her. I stay away from her. She just has five children. How are the other kids? No, it's true. I did travel a lot lately. I've been staying home a little more, but I've been running around, and up until a couple of years ago, Dolores didn't know what I did. She thought I was a pilot for United Airlines. But I want to tell you, religion plays a big part in our home, and always has in my career. I'll never forget the first time I played the Palace in New York, which was the tops for show business, and I finally got a break and played there, and Dolores sat in the front row of the opening performance and prayed. But it didn't help much because who's Dale? Where'd you get this mic? At CBS? Yes. Well, shall I take it from the top or anywhere? We left Dolores praying in the front row. Anyway, Dolores was sitting in the front row praying for me, and it didn't do much good because between my teeth and her beads, the rattling drowned out the jokes. made a few other notes here. I have one story I want to tell you that I put down while I was sitting here that I think you might enjoy about the preacher that was making it. Maybe you haven't heard this, but I like it so well that, no, we're on the radio, I can't tell this. There's one word in it, I can't tell it. And it's a little light word. And, no, I can't. Let me see. I'm cleaning it up now, Bill. And, yes, I can tell this. This preacher was making his first sermon, and he was very nervous, and he filled the water glass with bourbon. And he preached a wonderful sermon. He was blazing at the finish. And the older preacher was watching him, and he said, "You were magnificent." The preacher said, "Did I cover all the points?" And the old preacher said, "All but one. David slew Goliath. He didn't kick the devil out of him." I made that all right, didn't I? We're still on the radio. Anyway, I just want to say that we're on our way to New York. I'm going in to do a dinner there for Bob O'Donnell, this big Texas exhibitor who has befriended me many, many years ago when I started out in Texas. And I opened in Fort Worth at in the Interstate Time down there when I started in 19... so many years ago, and just about the time KOA was getting started, or a few years after that, anyway. And this fella had a lot of words of advice because I went down there and stepped out on the stage and started doing my jokes real fast, and this fella told me to slow up for the Texas pace. And really, it was very instrumental in helping me, and I'm going in to do a dinner for this fella. He's a very unusual fella. He's a poor Texan, and I think that... Now, you know that what Texas is down there. Howard Hughes got pinched the other day for vagrancy. That'll give you a rough idea. But I know I'm going to enjoy that dinner because that's for all the exhibitors of our business and all the theater owners, and it's the Pioneer's Dinner. Of course, I do so many dinners anyway that my blood is 90% Tums. But I enjoy it, and I enjoy getting up and speaking like this, and especially this particular group over here for Bill Grant and our station, KOA. Not that we have to plug this particular station. How are we doing anyway, though? No, but it is, comedians, they tried to get about everybody else for this dinner, I understand, before they finally settled for me. They tried to get Jack Benny. This has been a very tough season for comedians. There was Danny Thomas. He broke his leg. Pinky Lee had a bad cold. And you know what happened to Adlai. And no. He just didn't know Big Ed well enough. But anyway, I want to tell you that show business is a lot like politics. One day you're at Ciro's drinking the wine, the next day you're in Fresno crushing the grapes. That's the way it goes. But they did. They tried to get Jack Benny, and he wasn't feeling too good. He's been kind of ill. He had a terrible accident the other day. He was making a phone call, and the string on his dime broke. And they had to carry him out of the booth. It was quite a mess. He's a wonderful fellow. Not that he's not. He just plays that part. He's not exactly tight. He just hates to give away money after he's memorized the serial numbers. He's one of my best friends, and he did a wonderful job for us. We asked him to come over here and do another show for a hospital, a General Rose Hospital, last year. And he did a magnificent job. There's one of the real great guys of show business. And he's a great, great fellow. Always ready to do nice things. And he is one of my oldest friends. In fact, I met him in New York a couple of weeks ago. He was swimming under a toll bridge. And we bumped heads. We almost drowned. It was quite a thing. Then I understand they tried to get Elvis Presley for this affair. But he's at Heartbreak Hotel tonight with Kefauver, and I don't think... I Now, that's the latest rage, Elvis. Isn't it amazing, too? I'm not jealous of his success. I really am not. It doesn't. Just think, this fella, how he came up 3 months ago, he couldn't spell Kentucky. Now he owns it. But he's just a wonderful fella, and when he gets rid of that burlap underwear, I'm sure that... And they also tried to get George Gobel, I understand, for this affair, but he couldn't make it because he's training his Little League team. He's got a Little League, he plays second base. And he hates to take planes because the truant officers keep snagging him. I'm a little jealous of him and his success. It took me about 10 years to get mine. It only took him 2 years to get his psychiatrist. And... He's sort of an intellectual comedian. That means one of his writers finished grammar school. But he's a wonderful, wonderful fellow. And I'm sorry Bing couldn't be here. But he couldn't find a sitter for the Bank of America, and that's the way. Now, I'm sure that he'd have done it, but he doesn't have his mind on this type of thing right now. He's got other things on his mind. As he gets older, his eyes get younger. He could wind up with patience and prudence. No, Bing's a wonderful, wonderful fellow. I don't have to tell you about Mr. Crosby, and he's a great fellow, and I'm sure that whatever he does, he will be right, because I've enjoyed many wonderful moments in the entertainment world with dear Dad, and I just hope to spend many, many more with him, because he's a wonderful guy, and this talk... If he's going to marry any young gal, I can't see him marrying any young gal like that at his age. What memories he's got. I mean, it's just... I know that his idea of an exciting night is to turn his electric blanket up to medium. But he's a wonderful fellow, and I'm sure that he'll get married if he can go down the aisle in a golf cart. I'm sure of it. Because he plays a wonderful game of golf. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to take up too much time here tonight. How are we doing at the station? There's a call coming in. We may be canceled. Is that... what joke was that? I just want to tell you it's a great thrill to be here, especially for this cause. I don't think anybody, I think everybody here is to be congratulated. I know these boys that are raising the funds for this hospital, I know they have a job cut out. My portion of the program is nothing compared to the hard work that they're going to have raising the funds, because I know what it is, and it's just a great thrill for me to be here and help. Thank you very much.
Now, here is Thomas Tynan, General Chairman of the St. Anthony's Hospital Fundraising Campaign.
This is the fourth occasion for me around this area to be near Bob Hope when he was doing something for mankind, for his fellow man. I am well aware of the thousands of dollars poured into the USO during World War II through the effort of Bob Hope. I don't know of any man who has done more over and above his regular call of duty for his fellow man as our chief guest, Bob Hope, who you just heard tonight. Now, this Navy thing, they only partly told the story. It's a great story, the work that Bob Hope did for all our USO activities during World War II. My principal remarks tonight will be addressed to the workers in the present campaign and to friends of the hospital. We think it would be well to take a few paragraphs out of the chronological history of St. Anthony's Hospital. If this is another meeting instead of chronological, I'd probably say blow by blow. But anyhow, in 1875, six sisters arrived in the United States at Lafayette, Indiana. Today, the American group numbers 1,100, serving in hospitals and school headquarters for the Western Province is located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The history of St. Anthony Hospital begins in 1883 when the Union Pacific Railroad built a three-story hospital at 40th and York. In 1884, on May 18th, seven sisters arrived to operate the Union Pacific Hospital. There were beds for 66. Thanks. The population of Denver had increased from 35,000 in 1880 to 106,000 in 1890, necessitating a larger hospital. The site overlooking Sloan's Lake in West Denver was purchased. Cornerstone of the new building laid May 12, 1892. Hospital large enough to accommodate 125 patients was opened June 13, 1893. Needless to say, these sisters have never had it easy. It is true they dedicate their lives to this work, which is a good thing for most of us, that someone does dedicate their lives to such work. While it does not state so in the chronological report, I understand the hospital at 40th and York burned to the ground somewhere around 1890. This drive is for $3 million. I am informed from reliable sources that to erect a new hospital today, that it cannot be done for less than $25,000 per bed. It is planned with this new wing of 150 beds that the job will be done for $3 million, in other words, $20,000 a bed. The sisters themselves have enough confidence that they are willing to assume the responsibility for one half of the $3 million, or $1.5 million. And we lay people are asked to contribute the balance of the money, the other $1.5 million. The doctor's portion of this allotment has been set at $225,000, which will mean that we workers are expected to raise the balance, or $1.25 million. We have some 2,700 calls to make. Some of these calls have already been made, and the results have given us enough encouragement to the point now that we are determined that this campaign will be a success. In order for it to be a success, however, some things must be followed closely. Under any and all circumstances, please stick to the system. Stay with the designated cards that have been assigned to you for collection. The first thing to be considered by each worker is his own contribution. If he or she decides they are in a position to make a contribution, then for the success of the campaign, we would prefer that the contribution be made on a monthly basis spread over 40 months. Now, the reason for that is there are some business people now looking at this thing different. One time they would not go for these 40-month payments, but they will now. And where a gift of $1,000 that you might take today, if we took that $50 a month for 40 months, you could up it to $2,000. Now we need the money, and we need the 40-month plan to be successful. So we urge you to give that a lot of attention. We don't want to be kissed off with this $100 or $50 or $75 or $200 from somebody that should give us $1, $2, or $3 or $4,000. We realize we will receive numerous gifts from $1 a month on up to $10, $20, or $50 or more. But for the campaign to be a success, the 40-month payment plan is absolutely essential. This hospital is geographically located where most hospital beds are needed very quickly. And if this relief is not forthcoming, some of the adjacent communities to this area will be faced with a building program that might reach staggering proportions. When you look at the history of this hospital and dwell a little bit back there on that chronological order and realize that they have never asked for any public subscription to their work in 63 years, they've never asked for a dime. When you consider that, it is about time that we all got together and started to pay for the blessings God has bestowed on all of us. Another positively amazing thing about this drive, and it's hard to believe it, we are gathering money together for an institution that doesn't owe any money. This is very unique in these times. But most everybody is in hock. They don't owe any money. Maybe the place ought to be put in a museum, but you don't hardly get them kind no more. Most communities, including our own, are looking for new tax dollars. I thought the mayor was going to be here tonight. That's why I wrote that in there. One way to help offset these new tax dollars is for more people to become interested in private institutions, whether they be hospitals or schools. For when you stop to consider it, here is a new building with 150 beds, which we can obtain for 50 cents on the dollar because of this generous offer on the part of the Poor Sisters of St. Francis. I do not know just how poor they are, but that is their official name. I called Sister Lina, and then I looked it up in the book. Their official name, if they were a corporation doing business, the sign up at the, over the door would read, "The Poor Sisters of St. Francis." That's their name. Sister said, well, they got to be poor. When they come in, they give up everything. And that might have some connection with the fact that they don't owe any money. Since this is not a general solicitation, we are going to take some other means to advise friends of the hospital of the need of this new building and give them an opportunity to contribute. This will be aside from the prospect cards you workers have in your possession. Report back as quickly as possible any difficulties you encounter, and some of us division people will be glad to go out and help you with your calls. We have enough men standing by that'll make any kind of a call, no matter where it is or who it is or how important you think the call is. We want to keep these cards alive while the campaign is on. We don't want to have a lot of dead cards after the campaign is over. We stand ready and willing and able to help, and if all of us take our assignment seriously, the collecting of this $1.5 million will be assured. Thanks for coming here tonight, and before we adjourn, I'm going to ask Rabbi Lederman to give benediction. Rabbi Lederman.
Great God of all the universe, thou hast truly sent thy blessing upon this assembly of dedicated people who are concerned with the well-being of their fellow men. They go forth from this evening to join in an important effort to enlarge the healing facilities of a great hospital. Through the years, this hospital has served many men and women and children, bringing them health, surcease from pain, and the ability to return to normal living. Many have come to its doors to receive charitable assistance and been accorded loving care, devoted attention, and gracious understanding. The time has now come when its facilities have proved inadequate. In our growing community, there is need for expansion of their services, as there is for every other type of community provision. We ask thy blessing, O healer of the sick, upon the work that is being undertaken to make that expansion possible. May those who will serve as emissaries of this inspired effort be blessed in their own lives with health and with every good which thou dost vouchsafe to thy loving children when they are obedient to thy commandments. May all who participate in this undertaking, to whatever degree they make their personal contribution, their commitment of self and of energy, receive thy manifold rewards. Father of all men, may the new addition to this hospital serve to provide ever greater easement of discomfort and care for racking anguish. May it open new avenues of health for those who come to seek the healing balm of thy messengers, the physicians, the nurses, the laboratory staff, and all the scientists who are involved in the great work that a hospital does in our day. Bless, we pray thee, all who are the leaders in this consecrated task of expansion and growth. Inspire them with the wisdom and the understanding to draw into their ranks many who will be generous of their means and many who will be gracious of their time. Bless our guest who has come to us out of a busy life to share his great gift of humor with us, that we may more cheerfully approach our task. The Lord bless your effort, and may you go from strength to strength. Amen.
The speaker preceding the benediction was Thomas Tynan, Executive Vice President of the American National Bank, who is General Chairman of the St. Anthony's Hospital fundraising campaign. We have been recording from a rally dinner in the Emerald Room of the Brown Palace Hotel, at which the guest of honor has been Bob Hope and the Toastmaster, Bill Grant, President of KOA Radio and TV. Our audio technician has been Howard Long. This is Ted Haas.